All right, so we're back to Erevin.
For real.
Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. All right, so we're going back to the question. We had a little bit of a break, so we have to go back to the question of Mikzas Korah Besoch Esrim, Mikzas Korah Lamalim Esrim. Okay, so what's the case? So there's two cases. You have part of the Korah within the Esrim and part of the Korah above Esrim. Okay, Korah has height. Part of the Schach is Besoch Esrim and part of the Schach is Lamalim Esrim. So Rabba says, in the Mavoi case is kosher. And the Sukkah is Pasul. Okay? Yeah. So what's the issue? Again, what's the issue? Why is it an issue? Why is it an issue at all? Yeah. So apparently the Gemara's problem is that Korah and Schach are both considered an entity. Right, is an entity, and the hechsher of that entity is makom. Needs a certain makom for that entity to be kosher. So now that necessitates a definition of what is the makom of this cheftza. Okay, so if the schach is one unit, and part of it is above 20 and part of it is below 20, that raises the question of, is this unit in the makom of the kosher makom, right? And if the korah is an entity and it has to be in the makom, is it in the makom? So the Gemara comes out with a seemingly contradictory conclusion. It says in terms of schach, it's what? It's no good. And in terms of mavoi, it is good. So that can't be. That question doesn't make sense. Either you agree that there's a problem of the cheftza in one makom, or there's not. Why should it be that by mavoi we say it's good and by sukkah we say it's no good? So the Gemara says like this: My shnab in mavoi de kasher de amrinan klosh. Gemara is proposing a solution to why is it kasher by the mavoi. Why? Because I say what? Plane it. I say plane it. Yeah. I say plane it. What does that mean? Rowan ki'ilu nital oso ha'uvi hayotze lamalo te koradako. I say, let's view it like the amount of the korah that is above 20 is removed. And what remains is a thin korah. Because there's no soul of having a thin korah. Right? Yeah.
Right then, would this be a problem even if it was like a mashiv above 20? Like that would put a whole makom into a question?
It would seem so. So it's like this. So that's what I'm saying. This is like a straw man argument. It says, why are you saying that the Korah is good? Because you view so that we don't look at the part over 20, right? We view the part above 20 like it's removed. So why can't you say the same thing by Sukkah? Say the same thing by the Sukkah, that we'll view the Schach above 20 as if it's gone, right? And therefore, all I have is the cheftza, one entire cheftza, below 20. Okay? So why don't you say that by the sukkah? Because then that schach will fall down. The schach that's below 20 will fall down. That's the way Tosus learns. Right? It won't stay up. Once you remove the schach that is intertwined with above 20, that other schach will get blown away. Yeah. So then, why don't you say the same thing by the mavoi? That if I remove the amount that's above 20, the korah will blow away. The korah will blow away. Right? Yeah. So what's kind of a... So the Gemara's answer is what? The Gemara's answer is... El al korchach nasu kishvudin shel matechas. Right? So what are you going to say? The Gemara is like, it's like going through the whole up and back itself, right? Yeah. So what are you going to say that we view it like an iron bar? Okay. Hochanami, so say the same thing by the... say the same thing by the... by the sukkah. Right? So what is the logic over here? What is going on over here? What's the back and forth? What's the back and forth? So the Gemara concludes, the conclusion is that there really is no difference. Right? Conceptually, in terms of Me'ikar Adin, there is no difference between the sukkah and the korah. It's just a question of certain chashashas. But in terms of analyzing it, what are the steps? What are the steps over here in the analysis? What's the problem? What's the first answer? And what's the final answer? Right. So we're trying to say like this. The first answer is saying that what does it mean klosh? It means say that we don't have to look at this as one. In other words, that you're saying the problem is that it's one unit, and where's the shame, and it needs a makom, right? And therefore it's got to pass as a korah, because the entire cheftza has to be qualified as korah. The entire cheftza can't have a shame korah if it's partially in and partially out. So the first answer seems to be saying like this, saying, look, there's no necessity of the thickness at all in the shame korah, right? So if I would have had the thinner korah, it would have been good, right? If I would have had the thinner beam, it would have been good. So halachically, so we're going to view it like this. Let's just view it. Don't count the extra. Just view the view it like it's like the chefta itself is planed. Right. Since that extra was unnecessary, just view it like it's planed. Right. So we're viewing it just like the lower part. Just view it like the lower part. Right. Like if a guy, like saying, look, if I asked you to bring me two sticks, and I asked you to bring me one stick, and you brought me two, so the second one is completely unnecessary. So, since it's completely unnecessary, I say you fulfilled my request, right? So all I need here is a korah of a minimal thickness. So the fact that I have a thicker one shouldn't be a psul. I should just negate it. View it like it's two separate pieces, and the top one is extra. Okay, so it's not going to interfere with the shame of the. There's no necessity for the chafza to be this big. There's no necessity of this shear of chefza, so just negate it. But then the Gemara says, no, you can't do that. That's the Gemara says. The Gemara says you can't do that if the rest of the substance is necessary for any reason. Meaning to say what? It would be like if I asked you to bring me one stick and you brought me two sticks that were inextricably attached. Right? If I brought you two separate things, I could say, okay. So you brought something excess. So the excess doesn't destroy the shame of the one, right? But if I brought you two that could not be separated, then you brought me a new entity. Then it is a new entity, right? So he's saying, since the korah won't be able to stand without the other part, you can't just view it like an excess of the original part. The Gemara is trying to say, view it like essentially the cheftza ends where you below 20, and the rest is not really part of the same shame of this cheftza. It's sort of like an accidental feature of it. Sort of like it's, let's say it was spiky. Let's say I had a korah that was spiky. So you wouldn't say the spikes are going up is going to interfere with the shame korah, right? The makom should go by its essential substance, not by any accidental features, right? If I had a perfectly thin korah with a branch that goes vertically up, you wouldn't say that's not called miktas besochen miktas lamala, because that extra thing that's sticking up is viewed not in the same way as the thickness. It's viewed like an offshoot. The shame of the shame of the beam is going to come from its essential thickness. So he's saying over here too, in terms of Hilchos Korah, what's essentially the beam that I need? Essentially, the beim is only the substance that's besoch esrim. So just view it like it's besoch esrim, and the rest is like it's gone. Okay, it's there, yeah, but it's just like an accidental thing. It's not part of its definition of the of thickness. But if it wouldn't, but that's good if it would stand without the thickness. But if it wouldn't stand without the thickness, then that's part of its essential. Then that is part of its thickness, because its thickness is its strength, right? It has to be a viable entity without it. It has to be a viable, like a branch. If it had the branch sticking off, so you say, yeah, you could just take off that branch, and it wouldn't be mild, it wouldn't be mowered. So you shouldn't count that in being koveya its makom. You only should count its essential character, its essential substance in being koveya its makom. Right? If I'm standing with my feet in Arizona and my pinky in Nevada. Then you can say, where am I? You say, essentially, I'm in my hair is in Colorado. You say, okay, well, your hair is certainly not going to be koveya your makom, right? But if I'm on all fours in different states, then you'd have a hard time defining where I am. But because that's essentially is part of me. Essentially, is part of me. Okay, not like by the way, by mikvah, you were asking questions about rov and all this. By mikvah, even if one hair is out of the mikvah, you're not considered to be in the mikvah. So you see, when something has to be defined as being within a place, right, it could be very... You certainly don't say rubu kukulo, okay? Right. So that's the Gemara's first attempt, that we're going to simply maintain the idea that the cheftza needs to be in a makom, but we're going to define the cheftza by its essential... by what is essentially its essential utility in this framework. So in Korah we only need a thin strip, so we'll just define the cheftza as the thin strip. But that's saying you can't do that if they're inextricably interconnected. So since if I only had the thin strip, it wouldn't qualify as a Korah. So then even in terms of Korah, I need the whole thickness, right? Okay. So then the Gemara, now I think the Gemara takes a different track completely. It says, no, it doesn't mean like, that's not what klosh means. That's not the principle of klosh. The principle is rather that what? The principle is rather what? That you don't need to break up the cheftz into essential components and define its makom. That klosh just means that what? How do you define it now?
You don't need the whole substance to have a shame.
Right. Korah. You don't need the whole substance to have a shame, to have the shame Korah. You just need the, whatever of the cheftza is within the proper place will have the shame Korah. Okay? So, it's hard to define, but let's just say what they're saying, right? They're saying now there's no necessity to say there's one cheftza that has to be defined entirely by its makom. That would necessitate breaking up the cheftza into its essential component and an accidental component to find which component will define its makom. Now we're saying, no, we don't care. We don't care that there's one big cheftza that has to exist as one entity. It doesn't need to be completely defined within. There's no requirement like that at all. Whatever is within has the shame korah. Whatever is not within doesn't have the shame korah. So now it comes out, I have a Korah that's very strong. I have a thin Korah that's very strong. You know what? That's not so crazy. That's like a piece of metal. Now it doesn't really, you don't need to find a natural substance that will mimic this. Right? Because it doesn't say anything about the schach. But it's saying conceptually you're going to have what? You're going to have a thin Korah with a tremendous amount of strength. Where is that strength coming from? It's coming from the rest of the substances above it. But it's not coming from the shame Korah. Just like metal, the strength of the metal is not part of the shame Korah. So too, the strength of this is not part of the shame Korah. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But conceptually, what's the machlokas? It's difficult machlokas. Difficult, difficult. Machlokas, right? The first way of looking at it and the second way of looking at it. Difficult to... First case, it seems like... I have to think about it a little more. It's a difficult question. But it seems like in the first way, they're looking at Korah like a definition of a thing. Okay, like a Korah is like a... The shame Korah is the definition of a thing. So then the whole thing has to be defined. Right? You can't have a definition in part of a thing. Right? It has to be defined entirely. The Cheftza has to be defined as Korah. And the entity has to be defined as Schach. Okay? So if it's part in and part out, you won't be able to have that definition in the Cheftza. It'll be a Cheftza that's contradictory Shemos. Right? So you have to say that you have to reduce the shame from the top part, and say no, the shame in this substance is coming only from the bottom part. But it seems in the Maskana saying you don't need to define the whole Chefza as a Korah. You just need a certain quality. And that can emerge even from part of a thing. Yeah. Now it sounds like you're saying in the Havamina that the Korah is like a type of a beam, right? Like Schach is a type of a roof, but what determines its type? What makes it the right type is its Makom. The Makom is what gives it the definition of Korah. So, in order to be the right type of beam, it has to be in the makom that gives it its definition. Sometimes some things get a definition from their shape, some things from their size, some things from the substance. The Korah gets its definition from its makom. So if it were part in and part out, you wouldn't be able to call this beam by the shame Korah. It would be a split definition. And schach kosher is a certain type of a roof. If it's part in and part out, you can't call this roof, you can't call it the entity, right? That was the problem in the beginning. So they're trying to work out that klosh is going to allow you to define it. Even it's going to allow you to, it's going to split away the top from the bottom, in a sense, so that you can just give the definition to the bottom, make the bottom into the entity itself, and the top like a non-entity. Right, so then you'll say, okay, I have the substance, I have the beam, I have the right entity. Well, what's above it? That's just like extraneous stuff above it. Extraneous things is not going to give a counter definition.
So what's the Shvud answer?
So the Shvud answer. That's what I say. What's the Shvud answer? The Shvud answer seems to be saying that it's not a definitive, Korah is not a definition, but it's a function, right? As anything can function for Korah. In terms of function, I don't need the whole thing to participate in the function. So whatever is below Esrim will be functioning as Korah. Whatever is above Esrim won't be functioning as Korah. I mean, that's all you can say. I mean, all you can say over here definitively is that the shame Korah can exist in part of a substance, in part of an entity. You can have one entity that part of it has a shame Korah. So I'm just saying, that the shame Korah is not a definition of an entity anymore, right? It could be the feature of an entity. Well, the shame Korah is not, the Korah is not like a new min. Not like a new min. What? The feature of a part.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be only reflective of the entity as a whole.
Right.
A part.
Okay. Now, there is another way to define it, completely, to try to keep it in line with the original definition. That still, the Gemara holds, you need an entity. Okay, you still need an entity. And it still is employing the concept of klosh, okay, but in a different way. Yeah, no, that's the way we originally were trying to approach it. That it's a question of whether klosh is a logical principle or a halachic principle? Right? So in terms of viewing, in terms of logical principle, that means I'm assigning essences and accidents to the chefza. Right? And I can say some of the substances is essential, and that's where the shem makom will derive, and some of it is accidental. Right? But the problem was that if it's necessary to if it's necessary physically to stay and to qualify, then you can't apply that logic, because the logic is based on the non-necessity of it will make it accidental. But if in some framework I can show that it's necessary, I can't apply the logic of assigning accident and essence to these parts. Right? But you could say klosh is a halachic principle. That in the eyes of halacha, whatever qualifies for the chefza itself is the essence. In other words, in the logical principle, we were trying to say that all I needed was a thin thing, right? If I would have had a thin beam, it would have been good. So me as a builder, I didn't really need the extra. So as a builder, just negate the extra piece, right? From the human perspective. No, but the halacha is only important insofar as I, as a builder, wouldn't have needed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be like if I have a pot with a super long handle. So halachically, if you know you're going to shave off the excess handle, you don't have to put the whole thing in the mikveh. That's halacha. If you have a pot with a really long handle, and it's tameh, you only have to put in the amount that you know that you're really going to use as a handle. I believe that's the halacha. And the question is, what about the new surface? How come you're not that new surface isn't in the mikveh? Is that what you're going to ask? That's beis hasharim. But you don't have to tovel things that are internal. Okay. But anyway, I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. It's been a long time. But the point is that as what I need is going to define what it is. What I need is going to define what it is. Now I have a halachic need, okay, but it's still through the eyes of my need, okay. But if you say so, then I can say yeah, but you really do need the thicker beam. Because you couldn't even put the thin korah up without it, right? That's what I mean by the logical principle. But if it's a halachic principle, what it means to say is that ordinary objects, when they interact with halachic requirements, become halachic objects. Okay? Let's not. I don't overstate things, but let's put it this way, that since halachically all that's required is that thin strip, then that becomes halachically the ikar of the thing. In the eyes of halacha, halacha simply recognizes the chefza to the degree that it needs it. And it qualifies as the halachic entity via the halachic need. The halachic need itself is koveya, what the halachic entity is. So through the eyes of halacha, this is a very thin beam. But it's standing, right? So it's a very thin, strong beam. That's all it is. You understand? In other words, if the idea of klosh is from the perspective of the person that it works because he could have done less and have gotten away with it, so to him the excess is not part of the shame of the thing, then you're going to get into the problem. But if the work, the way that klosh works is nirin, that it's a halachic phenomenon, it's simply a halachic phenomenon, that whatever is within the makom of hechsher is recognized by the halacha, and whatever is not is negated by halacha, then I simply have, in the eyes of halacha, a very thin, strong beam. Right? That's it. First? Yeah, okay.
We're still to define the whole substance?
So I would need, I think it's better than the second, than the first approach we were taking. I'm going back to the original approach we were taking. We're really just fleshing out the original approach. Alright, we went off into a bit of a detour on the trying to differentiate the first two in the first approach. But I think we're going to keep it unified as a chefza, but now it's just a question of defining the makom via the klosh of like a human logical principle or a halachic principle. Interesting is the Gemara, what's pleasing about this svara to me is that the Gemara first assumed a logical svara and then said, no, you're going to have to resort to a halachic idea. Preferably, the Gemara was working with a logical principle. But that contradicted itself, because the logical principle should result in the same thing by Sukkah and Mavoi. So then it says, no, then you have to say, no, it's not a logical principle, it's halachic. The halacha only recognizes objects to the degree that they function for halacha. To the degree they don't function for halacha, they're negated. Now sometimes something is a psul. That also is recognized by halacha. But there's no psul of something above 20 amos. It's just that it's not going to qualify for korah. There's no psul of it. That's why the Rishonim go through, what about schach posel l'malam ha'asrim? Forget about it. That's someone say, there is no such thing as schach posel l'malam ha'asrim. It's just not qualified. It's just unqualified schach. It's not a cheftz of schach posel. If it were a cheftz of schach posel, then you'd have a problem, because then halacha would recognize it too. Right? But it's not that there's a psul of l'malam ha'asrim. It just is not a korah. It's no different than if it's standing upright or if it's lying on the floor. It's just not a korah. So to the degree that it is a korah, that's what halacha recognizes, and therefore the only halachically recognized entity is in the right spot.